my study here in the Corinthians, and as you know, we are in chapter 6, and this part of the chapter, you know, I don't want to talk about this. Why is it even in here? Who wants to talk about fornication, adultery, and a host of other alternative lifestyles? Who wants to talk about that? Thieves and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. Do we really want to talk about this? Should we talk about this? Is it necessary to talk about this? Does the Christian world even have a problem with this? And can somebody call himself a child of God or even venture close to any of these things? These are all questions that I ask myself. The first one, do we want to talk about this? The answer is no, I don't want to talk about this. The answer to all the rest is yes, we need to, because it is serious. It is a problem, and it needs to be addressed some way, somehow. So let's read the text first. 1 Corinthians 6, we'll start from verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God had both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to the harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. May God bless the reading of his word. Our body is a temple. That's what I titled my message this morning. Our body is a temple. Paul starts off by saying that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he makes a short list of some of the sins included in this unrighteousness. And by no means are all the sins mentioned here. There are more, but we get the point. All of these sins if these sins were not a problem in the church, then they won't even be mentioned in Paul's letters. So this part of the chapter really focuses on sexual sins. And A lot of people shy away from talking about one of the most prevalent sins in Christianity. And if you don't believe that, just look up the statistics. Unbelievable. As one seminary professor said, we no longer ask our entering students if they struggle with pornography. We no longer ask them. We assume every one of them is struggling. Every one. The question we ask is, how serious is the struggle? Not if you have a struggle. And I understand that. In the world we live in, you don't even have to go looking for it. It's in your face. Pornography is in your face if you're online. And that's the first level. That's how people, that's the start. That's the first level of a spiral from their other behaviors that are just heinous, unfruitful works of darkness. As Paul said in Ephesians, it is shameful even to speak of the things which they do in secret. Paul said that 2,000 years ago. What would he say today? But I'm convinced the human heart has not changed. It's all the same. And if we deny to that there's a problem and that there is a great temptation, especially for men, also for women, the statistics show it seems like everybody. It tempts everybody some way, somehow. So if we are not willing to kill that immediately and before it gets to a point where it controls us, if we need to be killing this or it will be killing us. That's basically what the apostle is saying. For if we are living according to the flesh, we shall die. But if we are by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That tells me that needs some serious choices. Because doing it once and walking away from it once is not enough. It's like a monster that has 9 lives and it just comes coming back. And for some, they have to be doing this killing for the rest of their life. It depends on how much you have allowed it in your life, especially in your youth. So what is the solution? How do we deal with that? It's very obvious the church is dealing with this, and in my short life, I've not only read about it, I've seen it. I've talked to too many people, young and old, or this is a serious problem in their life. So you can't ignore it anymore, and hopefully it'll go away. It doesn't go away. You need to address that it is a serious problem in the church and is a temptation for just about each and every one of us. And but I believe if we make awareness, if we talk about it, if we constantly remind each other of the dangers that we're facing, we can overcome. Because we need to understand that sexual purity is a salvation issue. It is. It's not just something small. It's a salvation issue. Because he said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived, he says. Do not be deceived. Death, sin is going to cut you off from God. Fornication refers to any type of sexual activity outside of marriage. Adultery refers to these activities with someone other than your spouse. Effeminate refers to a man who takes the role of a woman and all these alternative lifestyles. That's what he's talking about. This is the thousands of year old problem. It's nothing new. But Jesus said, and I believe that's where we need to address this issue. In Matthew 5:27, ye have heard what is said, you shall not commit adultery. That's what it said in the old covenant. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. How serious is that? And then he says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. That's how serious it is. It's better for you to lose one of your body parts than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off. Throw it off. The words of Jesus said. That's what he said. That's how serious it is. To address a problem right where it begins. Radical. That's what you call radical. He is saying you must cut it off. Cut off that sin of lust, which is the heart of all, the heart, that's where all these sins stem from. Or you will be cast into hell. And we have lots of examples of men doing that. Prime example is David. So it is real. If a person does not repent and fight to kill it, Jesus meant that such a person is, he just doesn't take it serious enough. Not genuine believing, and basically says you're heading for hell. The apostle declares that no one can claim salvation and go on practicing sin like an unbeliever. If the outer life is not made pure, it is evident that inward, somewhere in some deep corner of your heart, has never been renewed. A faith that does not produce holiness is not faith, is not the New Testament faith. It is not that saving faith. Our faith needs to lead us to holiness, produce holiness in each and every one of us. Our enemy is going to try and downplay it. God's grace will forgive. So many times we use that for an excuse. We shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. But Paul says, if you reject God's commandment of moral purity, you're not rejecting man, but God, who gives you the Holy Spirit, which is in you. And we can see from his dealings here with this church that he was running into the same kind of problem And I believe he was just quoting some of their clichés, or how do you say it? Phrases, you know. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. That's what Paul says. He did not mean that we are free to live according to the lusts and disregard God's commandment. They're there to protect us, just like the rules of the road. God's commandments are for our blessing and for our protection. If we violate them, you're going to hurt yourself and others. And then he says something very, it seems like it doesn't fit into this topic. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will do away with both of them. What's that got to do with anything? He starts off on this topic and he ends the chapter with this topic. And right in the middle of this is this verse. It says, food for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. I think that was a slogan for the Corinthians, meaning just like we have to go eat, God has created us that we have a biological need to eat, and we have a biological need to fulfill our desires and our lusts. That's what they were saying. But Paul said that's wrong. These people were, and I understand how that could be very real. Because I was on a trip to Mexico, and the people there were telling us about these. There was a mission shed. They're trying to set up a mission with a different church here to minister to the Tarahumara Indians there. And these and the locals were telling us there, you know, there is not even one young girl there that is not defiled. Not even one. Because they think that just like the Corinthians here, that's what they're for. That's what as soon as these girls get 12, 13, 14-year-old child. That's what they're for. That's to use them. That's their culture, and they talk about it just like it's going to have something to eat. That's how far you can get. And that's probably the same way these Corinthians, because they're pagans, that's what they were thinking. People grow up in these cultures and there's nothing to guide them. And Paul said, you were some of these, but you have been cleansed. But I don't know if that's so easy to shake. Because you look through history and just read the stories of how hard it is to change this culture. How hard it is to, if something is ingrained in your culture, to get it out. It's just about impossible. And therefore, that's why Paul was running into all this problem. This is an ingrained problem in society as a whole. But this argument is not going to hold up before God. But just because you have a desire and lust that you need, that you can just fulfill that. And he is specifically addressing that problem of the Corinthians going to these pagan temples, and that's what was happening there. They're going to visit the prostitutes. That's why he said, and he points out that the Christian, their bodies are members of Jesus Christ. To join yourself with the temple prostitutes is to join a member of Christ with a prostitute. He vehemently says, God forbid, may that not happen. Every other sin that a man commits is outside his body, but this is against his own body. In verse 17, he says some life-changing truths. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's what needs to happen. To join yourself unto the Lord, not unto prostitutes. Just as a man and woman who join their bodies together and are joined is in more than a physical way, so then we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We enter into this spiritual union with him on the deepest level. And Jesus said himself in John 15, "For abide in me and I in you." The union in marriage is a display of that spiritual union and love that we enjoy in Christ. That's why Paul used marriage as an example and as a picture of Christ and the church. Thus, by killing our desires, our sexual sins, recognize that purity is a salvation issue, and the seriousness of it. It never profits, never always enslaves. It violates God's purpose for our bodies. And our only defense is to flee it. Because it's so prevalent, it's so much around, it's so much part of everyday life of the world around us, both mentally and physically. So that you may glorify God with your bodies. Flee immorality. That's the only option. If we try to stand and fight in the face of it, glorify God in your body. These commandments need to be burned into our mind. Flee and to glorify God in our bodies. When we are tempted to click on that site, flee as fast as you can. Flee. Don't hang around or even think about it or pray about it. It's nothing to pray about. It is to flee that's our only safety. Flee. Because our aim as a believer is to glorify God in our body. Because we only have a small window where we can do that, to flee. Once we've taken that step, it could be a long journey, very painful. Because one truth we need to realize, that all sin begins at the thought level. All sin begins at the thought level. So we need to defeat it at that level. We need to defeat it at that level. Jesus taught in Mark 7:21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." See, Jesus knew once we entertain that thought, it's just a matter of time before we actually commit it. That's the way it works. This means that there is never a sudden blowout. If you see someone who says, "I was just cruising along and suddenly I had a blowout and I fell into fornication or adultery or whatever, any kind of other sexual sins," that's a total downright lie. This was going on a long, long time in the heart, in the mind. Going places you're not supposed to. In the dark. That's why it's so important to have accountability. And never shrink away or shy away from accountability. Because darkness is horrible. If you need to hide something from a brother or sister, if you need to hide something from your spouse, that's darkness. And sin lurks in darkness. We need to structure our lives so that there is accountability. Where do we go in our free time? You don't have to go to town. You can just stay at home in your bedroom. And you can go all over the world in places that you shouldn't. So that is one safeguard we can use. But we have to be willing. We cannot institute it. We cannot force people to do that. Because they'll find a way around it, over it, under it, or through it. We must realize that it is essential and we must want it. Accountability is important if we want to stay free from these sins. Especially young people. But also everybody. James 1:14 says, he just describes the process. "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by their own lusts. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth." And then he warns, "Do not be deceived, my dear brethren." Sexual sin is always a slow leak. It begins when you don't judge your loss on the thought level. You don't judge yourself, you give yourself a pass. Jesus' extreme language about cutting off a hand and plucking out an eye regarding this mental lust means that you must kill it instantly upon recognizing it. Instantly. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Paul says. Take every thought. He knows our thoughts. To be a man or a woman of God, we have to walk with Him on the heart and the thought level. Because sooner or later, all this stuff just surfaces. You can't hide it. It's been proven over and over. You cannot hide it. It'll just come up. And it's hypocrisy, if you ask me, trying to hide stuff that is going to, that is so dangerous and extremely damaging. Flee mental or physical temptations, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. God Himself dwelling in this temple of ours. I mean, if we would understand the gravity of that. God Himself in our temple. If any one of us would have an encounter with God, we'd do like all everybody did when they fell down like dead men. So glorious and holy He is. And yet, He says, our body is the temple of that Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. We just don't realize how awesome that is and how much we take it for granted. The temple in Jerusalem for the Jews was the most sacred place on earth. The most sacred place. Only the high priest could enter there only once a year on the Day of Atonement with the proper sacrifice. And the amazing truth is how now our body is that temple, the Holy of Holies. And just as God dwells in that holy place, dwelt in that holy place, the Holy of Holies, so the Holy Spirit now dwells in every believer in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:9. That is amazing. And if the people of God, if the Christian would only realize that. There's one study that says 80% of pastors struggle with this sin. Now these are pastors, and they're the ones that are supposed to be in the Word a lot more than the normal people. And if they are dealing with this kind of numbers, what's the average person dealing with? I think we better realize it's not just something that you wink at and, hey, well, that's just, it doesn't go away, it only gets worse. We live in a morally corrupt world. There's no doubt about it. It's probably a little more now than it was back then, but the heart is the same. And Paul says, you were somebody. Some of you were these people, but you are washed. It's not something we want to go back to, but I tell you, if we're not careful, it will find a way. We have been sanctified, we have been justified, we have been made clean by the word and in the name of our Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. That is the good part. But if we are washed clean, why is it still such a prevalent problem? I'm not talking off the roof of my head. I know what's going on. I know what people struggle with. They tell me. Not only here, but everywhere I go. When you're dealing with, especially dealing with young people and people that are struggling, you just know it before they even say it. You just know it. There's not even a secret anymore. Not even a doubt when they talk about their struggles and don't want to come right out. And I dealt with a couple who didn't want to come right out and see what the problem was. And I say, hey, get real. I know what you're dealing with. You don't even have to tell me. I know what you're dealing with. But you have to come out and see. And sure enough, every time that is the problem. So it's not something that we should be pushing away in a taboo subject. It is not a taboo subject. It is a serious problem that we need to face, because a lot of other sins stem and come from there. So it's good to be reminded, because none of us is immune. And the devil will make sure that he will tempt us, he will try us constantly. So be on guard, brothers and sisters, be vigilant. Take it serious, just like Paul said, just like Christ said. Make sure your thoughts are pure. Make sure you... One thing is, I've learned, you just can't stop doing something. When you stop doing something, it has to be replaced with something else. If you've got a bad habit, you can't just stop the bad habit. You have to have something to replace it. And that is, find something that is profitable to do. We need to realize God only helps if we're serious. So this subject is hard to talk about, but it is necessary.